Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today the topic is polyamory. Now, I need to preface this by saying I am not an expert in polyamory. I am speaking to this as something that I have been thinking about and dabbling in. It's kind of like someone that, you know, I got a kite for my birthday, and I went out for a few weekends and flew a kite, and now I'm doing a broadcast about kites. There are people who know way more, but the human experience is about being where you are and serving with what you've got, as opposed to waiting until you feel like you have earned the right to speak. At least that's my philosophy. But with that is the understanding that everything I'm saying is wrapped in a humility and a recognition that everything I'm saying is a minuscule understanding of where I'm at in this moment. It is my understanding. It is my mid-journey learning process. It is not a declaration. It is not an authority. So let me give you some back story. And I should say that I'm going to try to speak from the heart, and I'm going to try to speak from truth. I'm going to try not to use anybody's real names. But some of this truth could involve things that are probably not appropriate for children. That's your decision as a parent. I am not going to disrobe. I'm not going to flash my genitals. One of the things that I find fascinating is that in our world, people often think that if somebody has ever been comfortable with their clothes off, say in an adult film, that means they forever then on do not have the discernment to know what is or isn't appropriate to say or be around children, which I find crazy. Like, don't most parents have sex at some point? And yet they know when is the wrong time to be explicit and sexual around kids. But I digress. And I recognize that talking about sexual things, especially non-traditional sexual things, puts me in a category that some people are never going to allow to be part of their mainstream or the knowledge base that is shared with the youth. But once again, I digress. It is, I should say, Cyber Monday, which it's so embarrassing. Apparently Cyber Monday is about online shopping. It is not the day that you send nude photos to everybody on your contact list. So if you get an email from me today, do not open it. Okay, so I have been dabbling in or exploring non-traditional romantic relationships for a very long time. Most of my life has been dabbling in the unusual or different for a long time, and part of that is because I find that to be the edge that is so exciting for learning. And there's a beautiful thing that happens in non-traditional relationships that are, when I say non-traditional, I mean not like the traditional monogamy paradigm where there's this very traditional thing where, okay, we have one partner, you probably have a pretty clear idea of what cheating is, although that's not necessarily true. I always hear people say, well, is it cheating if I blank? Is it cheating if I watch porn? Is it cheating if I just, you know, text somebody? And the answer in my mind is, well, what would your partner say? If your partner would be upset and thinks you're being untruthful or lying, then that's cheating. Cheating is about lying. It's not about any act. And that's something that it gets explored quite a bit in non-monogamous or non-traditional relationships. And I had an experience many years ago where I was lucky enough to be invited to go to the National Swingers Convention, the National Lifestyles Convention. Lifestyles being the kind of blanket name for a group of couples and such that recognize that their relationship dynamics are non-traditional. And I got to go to this convention in Reno, and I gave a talk about webcams there, but I also got to just meet so many people and go to all these panels. And man, there's a lot that happened there that I learned from, some of which I've written about, some of which I've shared on my Patreon page because the stories are a little explicit to put public. But one story, and I'll try to make it as clean as possible, changed my life. I was in this panel where each couple was going around and introducing themselves and explaining their relationship dynamic. And it's an incredible thing where once you cross the line from traditional into non-traditional, it's like it goes from being a freeway with lanes to a lake with infinite possibilities. And whatever your truth is your truth. And I heard these people share what they're okay with and what they're not okay with. And they're all very different. And I found myself hearing people say, I'm fine with my wife does this. You know, she can sleep with whoever she wants as long as she doesn't kiss anybody. And I'm like, whoa. Okay, I get it. That's their line. And people were going around talking about whatever. And it came to this couple that was probably late 60s. And as each couple did, the guy introduced himself and his wife. And he said, you know, I love my wife more than anything in the world. I would do anything for her. If she craved an exotic pear, I would swim an ocean, climb a mountain to pick her that pear and so I could bring it back just to give her that moment of joy. But there's one thing that I cannot give her, and that is the tingly excitement of a new lover. And so in this community, I'm able to give her that. And I was, I just heard a man say possibly the most romantic thing I'd ever heard. And he was describing not just letting, but encouraging his wife to have sex with other men. And it was a revolution to me. I was like, oh my gosh, I never considered this. I thought that, you know, within these relationships, both people were so frisky and so enjoyed the hunt that they kind of were partners in allowing each other to have these experiences. But this idea of loving so much that you wanted them to have whatever gave them happiness and then finding joy in yourself from their joy, it was the first I'd ever really seen that. And there's a term within poly relationships, of compersion. And that is that it is the process of going through the constriction and the anxiety and the jealousy that might spring up when you see your partner finding joy or pleasure from someone else. And that initial feeling of like, why not me? Like, I'm not good enough or whatever the feeling is, which is very normal. And then working through that and going, wait a minute, I love this person. This experience they're having is making them happy. Therefore, I am happier because of it. And going through that constriction into openness is the compersion. And that concept, my understanding, is like the core of the spiritual breakthroughs and lessons that happen within open relationships and within polyamory. And I should say that I used to think I kind of understood what open relationships and polyamory was until I went to a talk by Tristan Tormino, who wrote a book called Opening Up. She's been a longtime friend of mine and finally got to see her speak about open relationships. And there's like a glossary in the book of all these different dynamics of, you know, there are true poly where people are dating and having loving open relationships with many people. There are people that are more like monogamish, where you have a single primary partner and then you play outside of that. And that's what most of my relationships have been, a primary with a deep trust and then a negotiated, agreed upon a level of freedom to have physical experiences outside, but not so much emotional connections outside. So, now, fast forward a number of years of having different degrees of openness in my relationships. And then last year, as I was working through the lessons of my longest relationship, I realized that I had a lot of self-work to do. And it made me feel like I was not in a position to be romantic or intimate with anyone. That until I could figure out how I could be a true soulmate, intimate, primary, one-on-one, fill all of their needs, partner to anybody, that I should not inflict myself upon anyone. And so I had a long stretch of celibacy and kind of was feeling like maybe the era of my life of kind of romance and sexual excitement was in the past. And to be fair, I was like, I had a good run. But then I started hanging out with some women who I very much connected to on an intellectual and a spiritual and a creative and artistic basis, who talked to me about their lives as in their poly relationships. And kind of introduced the idea to me that, well, why not make yourself available in the way that you're available? And a person who is also poly will understand that you're available in the way that you're available. And if they want more than that, then you're not a good partner for them. But perhaps all they want from you is to have these momentary adventures, these moments of deep connection without the expectation that you are going to be the boyfriend or you are going to be the lifelong partner or you are going to be the father of their children or whatever the roles are that sometimes become part of the narrative of what a traditional relationship is. And so I was like, is that for real? Like, I know women sometimes say, yeah, I'm cool with that, but are they really? And I became convinced by a few of these amazing people that I was meeting that, yeah, actually, like, I've got other lovers. I don't even live in the same town as you. But in this moment, let's connect and let's let our hearts open as much as we're comfortable without any of those kind of legacy definitions of what it's supposed to be. And it was super liberating and super challenging. And I found myself over and over in these classrooms, these opportunities for growth, these challenging moments where, and the big one for me, the one that comes up over and over and over again, is being in a situation where I have a feeling or I have a thought or I have, and it's something that I might say, ooh, if this person knew that, it would hurt their feelings. For example, ooh, I met somebody else that I felt totally connected with. Now, my old patterns are like, you would never say that to somebody that you have interest in or that you have a connection with because that would hurt their feelings. They would feel less than. And yet, it's happening to everyone. Nobody falls in love and then says, oh, that's the end of my attraction. That's the end of my awareness that somebody else, you know, is inciting some tingly feeling. How we choose to act on that, there's a lot of ways we can step into that, but acknowledging that feeling or truth is merely a matter of, am I going to be fully truthful with this person or am I going to protect them? And my go-to has always been to protect them because of the consequences of hurting someone's feelings. And in this path of poly, I have had some amazing partners, lovers, who have been strong and encouraging and valued truth and trust over momentary discomfort. I'll say that again. Valuing truth and trust over momentary discomfort, because deciding or acting and being poly does not mean the momentary discomfort does not happen. It means that you recognize that's part of the growth. That's part of why you're in relationship with this person, is to kind of like push against your edge and then start to go, how much of this is my deep truth, which it may be, and how much of this is a long-standing pattern of what I associate these feelings to mean? Does it mean I'm less than? Does it mean I have a weakness? You know, do I need to ask, well, does he have a bigger dick than me? Like, is that relevant? If he did, would that matter? Not that that's usually where my head goes. But, you know, the little jealousy voices of insecurity, when you court those as part of the classroom instead of the barrier, then you can work through them. And what I keep finding over and over is that I get to these really scary places and I want to shut down and I want to try to craft information, not lie, but maybe say things in a way or avoid bringing something up until it really is out of integrity to keep it. For example, meeting somebody, finding them attractive, feeling a spark there, but not having any physical hookup. Now, why would I mention that to somebody that I do have a relationship with? Because all that could happen is hurt their feelings. But in the last couple months, I've had the situation of like, you know what, this is my truth. I do feel a connection to this person, and I feel myself trying to hide it right now. And so that's a form of cheating. That's a form of lying. And if I really want to pursue intimacy and trust with this lover, and we've recognized that that's part of our dynamic. If you have like a don't ask, don't tell, that's one thing. But then I've had a few moments where I go, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to share this, even without any romantic. And I've actually shared, I said, hey, I feel a connection with this woman, dealt with that awkwardness, worked through it, and then said to this new woman, hey, I feel a connection with you. And they're like, I'm flattered, but no. And I'm like, wow, I went through all of this learning, growth, tension, compersion with my current lover for nothing? No, not for nothing. Because we established this level of trust. And all sorts of wacky things come up that would never come up otherwise. Things that would be like the end of a relationship, if you don't have openness for this, can become the stepping stones for a crazy amount of growth and connection. Just recently had an experience, and on both directions, I've had experiences where I've had a level of intimacy with a single partner where we are no longer using protection. We've been tested together. We are fluid bonded and use protection if we are outside of the relationship. And then with the very clear communication that if we fail to use protection or if a condom breaks or something outside of the relationship, then we have to talk about it and talk about our next steps and get retested and whatever we decide. And I've had an experience where I was unsafe and then we had to talk about it, and then she had an experience where she was unsafe. And it was not easy. In fact, there was a moment when we were like getting ready to get frisky, the topic came up, and I kind of shut down and was like, I'm not in the mood right now. Like, I need to kind of think through this. And 24 hours later, I was so grateful that this person was willing to go through this discomfort because trust and honesty was on the line. And so 24 hours later, I felt so much more connected. I felt so much more trust. I felt like we could get through so much more because we were partners in this classroom. And even in a decision or a mistake or something like that was not an attack on the other person. It was not it wasn't an obstacle. It was part of the lesson plan. And I'm kind of actually, it's kind of been amazing. It's kind of been, considering that there was a part of my mind that was like, oh, well, I'm broken, so I can't have a real relationship. And yet in this path of polyamory, I've had the opportunity to go through some super big learning. Super deep confrontations of things that I don't think I would have otherwise. Things about radical honesty, radical transparency, speaking my truth, and having faith and trust that even if that leads to discomfort, it leads to the right thing. It's kind of the phrase I put on everything: be present, have integrity, align with love, and then speak the truth. And there might be discomfort. Somebody might say, I can't deal with it. In fact, in the last 48 hours, a woman who we connected very quickly, very passionately, very honestly, she was not initially looking for a polyamorous partner, but was like, this is so passionate and so feels so right. I'm gonna give it a try. And very quickly realized it's not for me. And there was a part of me that was like, ooh, bummer. Like, I didn't play that right. But then realizing, no, this is exactly what was supposed to happen at this time. The truth led here. Honesty led here. Presence and love and integrity led here. It's not that things didn't work out. Things worked out perfectly that we're not supposed to be together at that time. And I don't know if this intense classroom, I don't know how long I stay in this classroom. I don't know. It seems to change rapidly. In the past couple weeks, I've had moments where I've kind of felt like I have four active lovers and one active lover, depending on the time of day and where conversations are. And I feel like I have lovers right now that I don't know if I'll ever see them again, but they are people that I've connected with and we've had this honesty with, and we've met in foreign lands or at Burning Man or something, and we've had this connection, and there's so much honesty that we recognize what we are for each other. And if the circumstances ever line up again, maybe it will be there again. But I feel like they are still part of this network of lovers that is helping me to learn and grow. Again, I am an infinite. I am infinite, yes, but I'm also an infant in this world. I highly recommend Opening Up by Tristan Tormino and Following Your Heart. Anytime we're on the edge, it's an opportunity to learn. I hope that by publicly sharing my edge, I have not offended anyone or hurt anyone's feelings. I sometimes remember that by being edge-focused for so long, I can forget that things that seem normal to me can be upsetting or off-putting. And so I hope that you understand that I'm sharing my truth with that same trust and that same hope that even if there's discomfort, it will lead to deeper trust and more honesty. Because as a woman who, as we were becoming deeper and connected and loving in our path of lovers that has since migrated to friends, as she was scared and revealing these truths of herself, and she kept checking in and saying, I probably totally repelled you, I know. And I was like, no, that there is nothing more beautiful than a human being revealing their truth. And at the core of my life and my art and Hug Nation and this moment and our relationship, I think that that's what it's based on. There's nothing more beautiful than a human being revealing their truth. So thank you for holding safe space for me to explore my truth. And I am honored to be witness and supportive and hold space for you to grow into yours. Thank you. Let's have ourselves a hug. So wherever you are, grab yourself by the shoulders and give a moment of appreciation for this miracle body that gives you all the sensations, some of those which are happen to be sensual and sexual. But deeper than that is the physical sensations and the thoughts and the fears and the anxieties and the joy and the adventure of the human experience, this fractional human experience that we have as singular consciousness. And then deeper than the physical, deeper than the thoughts, is this bright shining light, this energy, this love. And for a few moments together, we shed all of the I and the me and surrender into the we of this intentional group hug as we take three breaths together. Inhaling, exhaling. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation. I love you. Thank you everyone who is here live. We are trying some cutting edge Facebook Live stuff, trying a new microphone. Hopefully you can hear me. We're gonna be going live again in like an hour and a half for a dual person to Facebook Live with the nonsense man, Zachary. Hope you can join us. So now I'm gonna try to, if people have, might want to repost a question or a comment, and I will try to tune back in about polyamorous concepts. Once again, saying that I am a infant first grade student, not qualified to be a teacher, simply sharing my path and my experience as I always do. Excuse me. Oh, I'm on your wavelength. Well, then you should see a doctor because, no, I'm glad to hear that, Jay Lee. And thank you, Caitlin and Noah. Noah's suggesting Connor and Brittany on YouTube as a good resource. And again, can't recommend opening up enough. Side note, Tristan was my, or I was her AVN Awards date one year when she actually won an AVN Award for a movie she directed. When I went to see this talk that Tristan gave, and a bunch of people in the audience were sharing their journeys and sharing these things that they were going through, and I was kind of, it helped me to see how the path of poly could be not a symptom or a side project of one's spiritual path, but the core of their spiritual path. I mean, this was, they were jumping into scenarios that was causing discomfort with the intention of, you know, stripping away and sanding down and forcing them to go through beliefs and such. Kind of like, you know, a weekend retreat where you get broken down. They're intentionally trying to step into tension. It can be tempting, and there's all sorts of, you know, hilarious videos online and stuff. Sometimes people who are on a path of polyamory and embrace that classroom tend to present it as if it is a superior or more evolved path, and I do not feel that way. I feel like, you know, in the same way that, like, a kung fu practice to master the body and discipline is a beautiful, incredible practice. But as one who does not have a mastery of their acro yoga or their anything like that, I don't feel like I'm on any worse or less sophisticated or less evolved path than someone who is dedicating to that type of discipline. And or veganism, you know, like, these are all just, they're paths of growth that have struggles and rewards. Man, it's all fractal. It's all the same thing. It's just different because we're all different. Did I just blow your mind? One of the biggest challenges is, as we go into relationship, we all have definitions of what our relationships are supposed to be. We have ideas of what a partner is. We have ideas about what the masculine and the feminine does. We have ideas about what our responsibility is. And a lot of that is shaped by our parents or TV or whatever. And if you never question those, I won't say 100%, but pretty much 100%, you will find yourself disappointed with what happens to this person. Because you have a script in your mind. You assign the script to somebody. They don't know the script. They happen to have been training their whole life to play themselves. And then you expect them to step into this role and play it the way that you want them to. And there's this delta between who they are and who you perceive a partner to be. And if you don't let go of that, if you don't do the work, if you don't question and break down these expectations, that is the place that so many relationships have conflict. You should know better, you know? And this to say that conflict isn't a bad thing. In fact, if you court it with communication and honesty, conflict and challenge is the dynamic of growth, is the dynamic that creates passion. If you read, David Dieta, he talks about how the last thing you want is a relationship with total harmony, because you lose the spark, you lose the tension that creates passion. I am currently on this path. I am learning a whole bunch. I've had a not insignificant number of moments in the last couple months where I have been, like, pleasantly surprised at where being honest led to. Where my instinct 5 years ago would have been, shape this information, cradle your words in a escape route. Make sure you know, like, soften the truth so that you don't hurt someone's feelings. And actually, I should say I'm still doing that. Or not just hurt feelings, but also protect myself from vulnerability. I had a moment recently where I did something that I don't think I've ever done. People always think of me as being this very outgoing, extroverted person, but in a lot of ways, I am very shy and afraid of failure and afraid of rejection, which is why I have my own media empire by myself instead of ever going to Hollywood and trying to make it and risk rejection. But it also means that I almost never have said, wow, I'm attracted to that person. I'm going to go tell them so and ask for their number and ask them out. I usually wait until it's absolutely reciprocated or communicated that I will not be rejected, and then I, you know, act. And I don't know how many wonderful interactions that I have missed because of that. And fortunately or unfortunately, in the recent months, the changing landscape that we're in has made me even more self-conscious about inflicting my attraction onto a woman who's like, are you serious? Like, can I not go anywhere and not be hit on? Which I think is a legitimate request. And the last thing I want to do is be that person who, like, oh, cool, we're having so much fun, that we're connecting, we're two artists connecting. Hey, baby, I want it in your pants. Like, but I did have a moment recently where I felt like there's this connection, so I said so. Well, I kind of set a meeting appointment. I want to talk to you face to face, you know, and even when I thought I was being so clear and so vulnerable and so scared, they were like, okay, so I really appreciate this. What I'm hearing is that you want to spend more time with me. I'm trying to understand. I'm like, okay. As you say it back to me, I realize that I'm scared because I want to see you romantically. And that's when that person's like, awesome, flattered. No, thank you. And the miracle of that whole interaction was that I was okay with that. I kind of felt like it was such a huge step for me to ask for the sale. The fact that I did not get the sale was every bit as important for my growth. It does still mess with my head about how am I so out of tune with the vibes that I'm getting from people that I think that it's an attraction vibe when it's actually, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like, I don't know. But anyway, this is now getting off track, but... Amy is saying loves that this is that this can be referred to in a fractal context. Sweet. She is a student of Ram Dass and Eckhart Tolle and Alan Watts. Amen. Speaking of Alan Watts, someone brought up recently that I have on my Facebook, my job is spiritual entertainer, which is ripped from Alan Watts. But they brought up the fact that if you did not know that, it might make you really wonder what it is that I do for a living. Many people at my high school reunion thought that I was a magician, which, I pull out communion wafers from a yarmulke. Julie asking, have I experienced a strengthened bond with my primary partner through experimenting with polyamory? And can you clarify how you relate to outside partners, i.e. not just physically, and how did it benefit your relationship with your main squeeze, or did it affect it negatively? Okay, so this is... I'm gonna adjust this question a little bit, and part of is that in the past I have very much identified with the primary relationship and then secondary, tertiary relationships. One of the things that I'm trying to do more now and be in now is more like a traditional polyamory and less like a monogamish with a primary and secondaries. And I, like I said, I don't know the correct terminology, check out opening up for the glossary. But because my experiences with a primary is that everything else filters through the primary. And primary is like a primary's word is law, basically. And so if a primary says, I'm not comfortable with that, or that person, you going to that event, you going without me, I'm not comfortable with you talking to that person. In my definitions within a primary relationship is that no question, you get what you want. What I'm exploring in this more poly is that I have loving, trusting bonds with multiple people, and I remain honest with all groups. So there isn't somebody who is like has veto power over everything. They have the right to be told the truth and full honesty, and then they have the right to be like, I'm not comfortable with this. And if you want to continue that, then it's without me. And then I can choose, okay, but I haven't done anything wrong. Whereas within my primary relationship, if I did something that they didn't like, that was my bad and I did it wrong. They have that bond is premier. Does that make any sense? And in that kind of relationship, I've found that whenever my partner does give me this trust, in fact, even having that ability to have play outside of relationships creates a level of connection and appreciation that is profound for me. In fact, I don't know how well I could have a deep relationship with somebody that had a absolute boundary of like monogamy only. And if you find yourself attracted to or wanting to act with anyone else, then that's going to hurt my feelings and it's going to affect our bond. Because it's like asking me, you could say doing this will hurt me. And so if you choose to do it, you're choosing to hurt me, but it's your right, which is different than you've agreed to this rule. And so I want you to do this because it's our contract. And I'm not sure if I'm explaining the subtleties of that, but it's significant to me. I've had open relationships that I never acted on, but because within our relationship, I could act in integrity, I could fall in love with someone over the course of 24 hours, have an experience with them and come back to my primary and say, this adventure happened to me. They could be upset. They could say, I don't want to be with you anymore, but I would not be being dishonest. I would not be being out of integrity. I would be sharing a truth, and then the truth would change the dynamic potentially, but it's different than cheating. Does that make sense? That's significant to me. Like I need the right to follow my truth. The actions I will take into consideration the effect of this person that I care about, but if I do something that this person doesn't want me to do, I want that to be a choice rather than a betrayal. That makes sense? And maybe I'm making up a word game to make sense of this, but that's how I feel it. So that's how things have been in my previous relationships that I think consider to be monogamous with agreements that allow for play. And a lot of that play is within boundaries that, such as like Burning Man, where there's not this expectation that a relationship's going to start. A lot of my previous relationships have been such that the play, there's not a jealousy about physical connection, but there is a fear about emotional connection that could weaken or end the love partnership. But in my current state with more traditional poly, where I'm feeling like my partners are my partners in this path, I have found profound closeness when I have felt so safe that I can share something that is true, even though it might not be what they want to hear. Saying, and in that growing state of trust, it goes both ways. You know, I had a partner who was one of my lovers, and I think some of them are listening, and if I'm saying this in insensitive ways, I have so much appreciation and love and awe. So my apologies if I'm not communicating that. But the woman who has been my most profound mentor in this, she had a experience where a previous lover and his new primary lover were in town, and they all wanted to get together and play. And I was not feeling it. I didn't know them very well. I didn't like, I'm like, dude, there was a time in my life when the chance to have a crazy sex experience, I would have, you know, flown cross country to get it. But here it was like in my backyard, and I just was like, eh. And I said, I'm like, hey, if you want to go have this experience, a threesome with this hot couple, you have my blessing. Go do it. Like, I don't want you to feel like you can't have this because I'm not in the mood for it. I know that we had a plan to hang out tonight, but go and feel good. And I genuinely mean that, you know, and it felt good for me to be able to feel that compersion and like, no, I don't feel like this will make me happy, but if it makes you happy right now, have it, have the adventure, dig in. It doesn't affect my connection with you. It doesn't affect my self-esteem. It doesn't. And I think that when she got like, oh, you're telling the truth, she actually didn't go to have it, but the getting over that hump was huge. And then I had the experience where I got to spend some time with this other guy, where we both helped her move, and got to witness him in this act of service, in this act of care, in this act of respect for her and for me. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, if the situation comes up again, let's all hang out and play and see what happens. Where everybody was able to kind of go into it from a place of their comfort level, not being pulled because of an expectation or an obligation, and being able to speak their truth and be able to say, you know, and giving space for the other person to say, "Art, you didn't agree to this, and therefore, even though you're uncomfortable, like, how dare you say I can't have this experience because you agreed to it 2 weeks ago?" It's like, no, in this moment, I'm insecure, or in this moment, I'm feeling bloated, and I'd rather you sit with me than run off with some pretty thing that is, you know, and then I have the choice. Let's say that was a situation where someone says, I'm feeling bloated, I want attention right now, even though I don't feel beautiful. I would have the choice to gift my attention or do whatever I wanted. But I do not have the obligation because I have a contractual agreement. Because that leads to I feel like it can lead to a type of resentment. Like, I don't really want to be here. You're making me. As opposed to, I care about you. I love you. I would like to gift you. I would like to be the hero in this scenario and be appreciated for being kind rather than acting in a way because the law says so. The classroom that I'm experiencing now with my lovers is that of digging to my truth and helping them dig to their truth. And one of the consequences of that digging could be the ending of our relationship. I could no longer be the safe space that they need because my truth involves, you know, I mean, most of my desires are, I take that back. They're not entirely traditional. I do enjoy blindfolds and such and chains and submission, but that's another topic for another day. But like, I've been in relationships where I've been afraid to share that, I really have this part in me that responds and desires power play. I do, not every time, but I do enjoy having a partner submit to me and leading them on a sensual journey. And if me admitting that truth, if I did not speak that truth because I was afraid of hurting them or I was trying to protect them, then that that's a classroom that I'm not visiting, and I'm not letting that happen. Now, speaking that truth could result in them saying, I don't think I can be with somebody like that, or I'll try it, or maybe you can do that with another lover, but I don't want to ever, you know, give up control like that. But I hear you that this is something that you want. Can you, you know, sit with that until I get comfortable with it, and then I can choose? But all these are about like being partners to our growth. And it's different than protecting the primary. At least that's how I'm experiencing it right now. What I've found in this very brief adventure I've been having is that not protecting, but instead partnering and exposing this rawness has resulted in some discomfort, but it has led to places that I've never been before in terms of having a friendship kind of love with someone where I feel like they accept me. They may choose that they don't want to be in a relationship with me romantically, but they, because we have been honest and truthful, the trust trumps that. The trust is above the script of what I think I can be with in relationship. Lance asking, what's the difference between solo polyamory and just being single and dating? I think that single and dating, to me, that's a great question. But I think what it is it's putting it out on the table and saying, removing the possibility that there's a misunderstanding. Because many people who are dating are trying out a partner, looking for their soulmate, looking for their one. And if you are not looking for your one, and in fact are comfortable with dating multiple people, and that's what you'd like, then you're not being fully honest with these people who are looking for something else. And that's, I think that's unfair. That's a type of cheating. If you're going to present yourself as someone who is looking for a single partner and looking for someone to play with as part of many people, and you don't reveal where your heart and head is at, then you're letting somebody develop a story and a narrative and they think that you're filling their script when you're not. So that's the difference, I think. Now, it can look the same. And in fact, I think that poly relationships can lead to soulmate connections. I think it's very possible that I don't see myself as true poly my whole life. I see myself as having a primary and play at some point in my life. But so it's possible that at some point in this poly classroom I'm in, I will realize that the return on the effort in all this communication and challenges and compersion is no longer giving back what it's worth, and I might settle into or build a more significant connection with a single person, but it has to happen within deep, profound, confronting honesty, or else we're back in that same challenge of being of falling into somebody else's script and then disappointing it and being in the state of why am I unhappy with this person being who they really are? Well, it's because I want them to be who I think they're supposed to be. So much of this comes down to honesty and radical honesty, meaning it's very, I've been this person many times where I don't think I've ever lied to someone, but I have withheld aspects of my truth because I'm not sure how it is advantageous to things. And that goes back to be present, have integrity, align with love. If I'm trying to control the outcome, if I'm trying to protect somebody, or if I'm trying to avoid awkwardness, I'm not allowing the magic of the unfolding of the universe, of the truth that flows. I'm not allowing that magic to happen because I'm trying to steer away from things that I don't think should happen. So regardless of whether it's poly or monogamous or whatever. It is the path of truth that leads to the massive growth. Raja saying, do I ever see myself having a child? Do I think my outlook on polyamory will change if there was a child involved? I think it probably would, or it might. I did have a vasectomy 8 or 9 years ago. So having a child is not on my immediate risks right now. It's not, or actually not risks, possibilities, blessings. I did have some of my seed frozen, which I should check and see how long I'm paid up for. At the sperm bank. So it's still possible. And in fact, if you are a lesbian couple looking to have a child and are looking for some sperm to impregnate one of you so that you can biologically have a child with, even though there's no biological father in the picture, that's something that might be a perfect fit for me. Uncle John is a role that I'm awesome at. But I also think that you know, having a village raise a child is not necessarily a bad thing. So, you know, if I was in a relationship with multiple people and a child was exposed to multiple grown-ups with different gifts and different personalities and, you know, dynamics, I don't think that in and of itself is relevant to a decision of having a kid. If I was in a relationship with, you know, a number of people and felt that either some of us or all of us in combination could be great parents and were desiring raising a child in the world, then I would be comfortable with that. Maybe even more so. Because one of the things that I found to be just so overwhelming is just the magnitude of responsibility that is on two people or one person. It's just, and I that's one reason for the vasectomy. It's like, I can't ever see myself sacrificing so much of who I am and what I am called to do in the world to give that much energy to a little bitty person, one person, when I feel like I feel connected to so many people in the world. Lance saying, if I'm reading this right, single and dating is like don't ask, don't tell, where solo poly is all out in the open. I think that's true. I think that's probably a good... and I think that that's something that, you know, as I've talked with some of my poly mentors, is that... there's a big difference between meeting someone who is solo but sees themselves as poly versus seeing someone who is solo and then goes, oh, I'm interested in you. I'd be willing to be poly. Because being poly means what you desire is, it's what you want. You sign up for this. But being solo and dating, there's an implication that you're dating to get to this next step. And I've not seen this happen much, but I've heard very often people join a poly group because they have an attraction to somebody in that group, and then they settle for it, and then very quickly realize that that dynamic doesn't work. Cordelia saying that I'm a free agent in the poly world. I don't know if that's entirely true. I'll have to think about that. But I definitely have not signed with any team right now. And I'm available for meals and dungeon time. Carrie saying, I believe our transparent truth is required in all relationships for ourselves and those we are in relationship with. It is always mutually beneficial. And that's so true. And so one of the gifts of poly or non-traditional relationship is that you're forced to really be engaged in the conversation of truth. Whereas it's easy if you have a traditional relationship to act based on assumptions. Like, everybody knows what's okay within a traditional relationship. So you either do what's okay and hide what's not. Once you cross the line into non-traditional, you've got to talk it through. You got to say, actually, you know what? I'm totally cool with you, you know, kissing other girls at parties, but I'm uncomfortable when I see you watching porn or whatever. And that's your truth. But if you assume, well, it's as long as I don't touch any other women, I'm not cheating. So I flirt with this girl, you know, in my office and I watch a ton of porn. Like that's, well, maybe that's fine. But unless there's this intense communication to get to that truth, whether it's poly or otherwise, it's the communication and the truth that is the growth and the connection that creates the soul classroom place. And I do share some of the things. Sometimes I do these Facebook Lives and then I delete them and I put them on my Patreon page because I just get a little fearful, quite honestly, about having some. I like to be fully vulnerable in the moment and then judge, is this something that should be fully public or should be protected to those who are within the kind of a safe circle. And Patreon is one way that for $1 a month, you can kind of make a gesture like, okay, I'm in the inner circle. I'm not going to betray you. I'm making an effort to go deeper. And so some of the videos that I'm doing that may be a little bit more revealing or maybe against some Facebook rules, I'm putting those on Patreon. And some of the writing that I've been doing that I referred to here that is not to the level of public consumption in terms of vulnerability, it's on Patreon. So it's not, I'm not hiding it. I'm just trying to create a smaller intimacy at this stage. So if you're interested in that, check out my Patreon, patreon.com/halcyon. But if you're here live, then we get this connection. So it's not, I'm not trying to create a wall. I'm just trying to make space for me to feel safe with you and the unknown public, if that makes any sense. And maybe that's a topic for another day as well. Man, I can just talk and talk and talk. It's a wonder that anybody could be in relationship with me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you. I'm so honored to share this path. And I can't tell you, I can't tell you what it feels like. It's like this digital striptease that I've been doing my whole adult life of like, sharing something that's kind of scary and then having the reflection be that of love. And it's a little bit like being in an open relationship or a polyamorous relationship with you. So thanks for rubbing my back and using plenty of lube. Have a beautiful day. I love you. Please subscribe to the Hug Nation YouTube channel. Follow me on Facebook. Check out Halcyon Pink on Instagram, or just listen to the wind, and I'll be there. I love you. If you enjoy this, share it with a friend, an open-hearted person who might be part of our wonderful collective Hug Nation family.